It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
Welcome to the Dennis Stuckey Show. I'm just explaining it to Coach, and he doesn't believe me.
I believe you. Here, swing that one around.
We had the score. I
had a whole grid laid out, and I did all the points and all the percentages if they had this many points and that many points. If we get 87, which is a three-point win in Danbury on Saturday, and they stay where they're at 85, we'll finish with a 518 percentage, and they'll finish with a 516. But that's the only way we can get it done. If they get one more point, their percentage is up higher than we can get ours. Isn't it? And the other thing that annoys me is the game that got canceled was in Danville. And if they'd gone and played it in December or whenever it was, they'd have gotten their butts kicked. And that loss would be a big deal. That loss would give us more options this weekend.
And on that note, I've sent numerous emails to the commissioner and, you know, the league that game has to be posted as a forfeit. The games played should go in that column, and then in the non-win column should be the 0 points.
Yeah.
And it should change their percentage. Now, is it going to help? Hopefully, but they haven't responded or done anything yet.
Well, there's always hope, but all we can do is what we've been doing. Play our games and win them and keep it alive, and that's what you did last night. Wasn't the prettiest win, but it's 3 points. We finally figured it out with about 15 minutes to go. We finally figured it out. A, hit the net with your shots, and they'll go in. And B, we did that, and they did.
Well, right before we went on the air, you said the score of the game, and we were off by a goal. I had it at 20-2. You had it at 20-1. Defense creates offense, and if you play sound defense and you're accountable and you're in the right position and you're doing your job, in the third period, we did that, and that's what transpired. In the first two periods, it was like watching a bad tennis match or ping pong game or men's league. It was just like a shootout. It was like Cornwall.
Go up and down, up and down. Oh, they scored, so now we got to get one.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And there was a lot of line changes last night because we were short personnel. Foose, you know, got thrown out of the game, which he shouldn't have, and he did what is expected of a player. You know, his line mate gets cross-checked after we score, and he goes to defend him, and the ref makes the wrong call as usual.
Yeah. Well, none of that ever surprises me. But by the way, because he was fighting a guy, what do you think that kid is? 6'7" without his skates on?
He's a big boy. He's an older guy, and I think he has some experience under his belt. Did you say 6'5"?
6'5", 6'7". He big.
With the skates on.
He's like, he's obviously he's not Chara, or he'd be playing someplace else, but he's Chara big.
Yeah. And Foose texted me about 3 times last night. When am I going to get the good fight? I said, I told you good fight. I clapped on the bench, which I normally
don't. It's
a great
fight. He hammered the guy.
I said, and I said to him, I said, that was a great fight. You took a heavier, bigger guy, and you schooled him. I said, but remember, I still have the belt.
Bobby McKillop just walked in. Coach, I don't know if you and Killer have ever met. This is Joe Pace Sr., the coach of the Prowlers. This is Bobby McKillop, who was a hack when he played. Absolute United Hockey League all-time hack.
Thanks, Doc.
Perfect.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
He had 45 go in off his rear end 1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been living off that.
Yeah, yeah.
For his entire career.
The other 350 or whatever.
Where'd you play, Junior? Kitchener?
No, I played in Kingston and
Kingston.
Windsor.
Kingston, yeah.
So you guys are talking about the game last night,
yeah,
I assume?
10-5.
little bit off. You were close, though.
I was close, yeah. I think what I say, like 12-0, something like that, is what I predicted.
20-2.
Yeah.
you know the way that goes as a player going into that game when we've done what we've done to them as many times as we have, and we know what their story is, and going into that game, it's point night for sure, and I'm sure you got to see that for the first period and a half or two periods. As us guys, we're gonna get 10 points tonight. We're gonna maybe get 11. I mean, that's just the mentality of the boys as we get into that situation. So I'm sure the first couple of periods weren't pretty.
No.
So on that note, the player mentality, coach mentality, let's go out there, let's be accountable, let's do all the right things. And yeah, I'm laughing right now because in between the first and the second, I said, and I can't say it on the air, but what are we doing? Trying to make highlight reels here?
Oh, yeah.
The toe pulls.
Oh, yeah.
The running through the legs.
Oh, yeah.
I said, are you guys kidding me right now?
Yeah. What's the league record points in a game? I'm getting it tonight. Yeah. Right? I mean, and trust me, you're preaching to the choir. I've been coaching for the last 15 years, and you look at things totally different from this side. He made a comment on my way in here, and as a coach, you win games from your goaltender out. You win games from playing solidly defensively in your own zone, being accountable, creating turnovers in the neutral zone, and then stuff happens from there. And when you're not doing that, and when you're not finishing your checks, you're not being accountable on the defensive side of the puck, when defense isn't first, you're in trouble. Well, accountability is the biggest
word.
Well,
yeah.
Accountability. I mean, but again, being on the other side of the fence is the 12 or 13 years that I played as a pro hockey player. You knew that stuck. I knew going into certain games, certain teams played third game in three nights. It's an afternoon game. We've sat at home. We're waiting for them. You know what's coming. You know what's coming. The problem is that as a player, you know, you're still doing the little things. But again, you're taking chances you'd never take. You're blowing the zone every once in a while.
Isn't it funny how, like, I can't remember our goals, but I remember everything we did on the goals they scored on us.
Right.
D-man gets caught in nowhere land. You know, he wants to pinch, but he's a little late reacting. Bang, they're by him, 3-on-1. D-man tries to skate through three guys. They take the puck away from him. Bang, down to the other end. We never get the puck out of the zone.
And, of course, the high forward's nowhere to be found.
And when they come to the bench, they won't even look at you, and you're just trying to make eye contact to, like, go,
yeah.
Cole Paul, it's a blue line.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Trying to skate through three guys at their blue line with no F3.
So I'm imagining that you didn't have a full lineup, correct?
We were missing 23, which is a very important part. St. Marie.
Okay.
He had a previous engagement back home here that he could not miss.
Okay.
I knew that coming in. But we actually had Atwall playing as a forward, and when we lost Foose, the bench changed drastically.
What happened to Foose?
Instigator. They gave him an
bad
instigator.
Referee.
He scores a goal, and on the play,
he doesn't listen.
On the play, their D guy slashes one of our guys, so Foose goes in, and because that's
does what he does.
Does what he does. 181 penalty minutes this year with 103 points.
Gotta love those guys, don't you?
And he pummeled the guy, too. I think he got the extra because he won the fight so convincingly. That's what I think happened.
So did he actually go in there, engage, and start the whole thing? The guy didn't have his gloves off. Was it an instigator?
It looked pretty.
Boy, he sounds like a rough, this guy.
It looked pretty even to me. I don't know.
The guy cross-checked. We scored. The guy, you know, upset. Barry's robo. And obviously, you know, you defend your teammate. Don't start it. Finish it. So he went after the guy face to face. The guy seen him coming, and the guy, you know, didn't drop his gloves, but during the altercation dropped his gloves and tried to
defend himself.
And the, like Stuck said, the slash was the instigator. That started it. Foose was defending his teammate, so if you're going to call it, you're going to call two slash, two for roughing, and five for fighting. That's way I would have called it.
And that's the way I think a lot of referees would have called it.
Well, did he get the two for the original?
They got seven. No, he got the slash in the fight, and we got instigator in the fight and a game.
But they had the original as the two.
Yeah. Yes.
They did have it already. So the referee's arms up.
You know, you know what? That's the other point about it. He calls the two,
right.
I think, because he was giving our guy the extra.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, the arm was never up.
There you go.
He's pointing in the net because we scored a goal on the play.
Right.
Yeah. So So that changed the dynamics of the lineup, which was interesting. But there's a lot of talent out there. And like I've always said, defense is taught, offense is created. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to play with anyone. There's three lanes, fill them, F1, F2, F3. A lot of these guys don't get that. And, oh, I can't play with him. I don't know what he's going to do with the puck. What?
That's my favorite.
What?
I'm telling you right now as a coach, and again, remember as a player, okay? But as a coach, my very favorite thing is exactly what he's talking about. I don't know what he's doing. Oh, you don't know what he's doing, eh? Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me he's carrying the puck up the ice. And remember, the guy with the puck does not create what's going to happen. The guy without the puck creates everything. So if I'm in the middle of the ice, like Pauly Palillo. Pauly Palillo's got the puck going down the wall, a legendary minor league scorer. He's got the puck going down the wall. I'm in the middle of the ice. If I drive that defenseman off for him, as we go across the blue line, creates so much more time and space for him. Gives me a lane going to the net. Gives our high guy a lane, whether it's on the weak side on the high side or whether he's coming in trailing high. Gives everybody an opportunity. You only don't know what the guy's going to do because you're watching him. Don't watch him. The best players in the world are not playing in the National Hockey League. The best players without the puck are. You have to be able to play without this puck. You and I talk about it all the time. Mantha's getting buried right now because he can't play without the puck. Not to see you was getting buried before because he can't play without the puck. Dylan Larkin looks like he looks right now because he cannot play without the puck. You have the puck in your stick for 25 to 30 seconds a game at most. Might shoot it 5 or 6 times if you're a good dynamic offensive player. If you're a defenseman, you'll probably get 6 shots. 4-6 shots is a lot in a game. What are you doing the rest of the time? You're playing without the puck. Well, the defensive side and the offensive side. Don't talk to me about you don't know what he's doing. How about you figure out what you're doing? We'll be just fine.
The most dangerous guy on the ice is the guy without the puck. And I'm not an expert, but the best guy I've ever seen play the game like that, Mario Lemieux.
Oh, is he awesome?
He was the best. Yep. He didn't look like he was even caring about what he was doing, and then he had 4 points. Because he knew where to go and what to do when he got there.
Yeah, all of them, Gretzky, Lemieux, all the guys.
Oh, they're lazy. They're not doing anything. And then you look at the score sheet 5 points later.
They're lazy. They're smarter than everybody else.
They're 4 steps ahead of everybody.
I talk about it during practice, on the bench, during the game. Disappear. Pretend you're not there. Then jump in the hole.
Yep. That was my life. I was that guy. I was the guy that was giving the puck to the playmakers, and I was hiding. I mean, because there's so many. The thing a young players don't understand is that there's space out there. There's space that is so wide open. If you can get yourself to that space, it's a perfect place to be. Now, you can hide there for a bit. You're not going to hide there for very long, but you need to know where those soft areas are. And those soft areas aren't 35 feet away from the puck. They are on the strong side. As Pauly Palillo is going behind the net, I can't be on the weak side 14 to 25 feet away from him. There's a soft zone. I need to find it. And trust me, it's going to be on my stick and it's going to be in the net.
14 feet's good. How about 75 feet?
Right.
My guys are making passes 75 feet flat through the top of the circle. I mean, to the top of the crease.
We do that sometimes, yes.
Coming down the hole.
Right. The guy that's in the strong side passing it. Yeah. Right.
You just remind yourself, okay, FHL. It's all right.
Yeah,
but it's not all right because these gentlemen are very talented. Mm-hmm. They're very skilled,
yes.
And they know that. But you said it, I think, earlier, or both of you. Highlight reels. How many points could I get tonight? Pad the thing. We're playing St. Clair Shores. No. Play defense. Offense is created off of it, and the points will come.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't get me going. There was like a minute something on the clock, and everybody was like, barking to get on the ice because they wanted to get more points.
I love it.
I was like, are you guys kidding me right now?
Oh, I've been there.
Don't get a penalty. Don't get hurt. Don't get thrown out. We have a game Saturday. And I'm up. Let me go.
I got 4 points. I need 5.
Yeah.
All the guys with 2 goals, they want to be out on the ice. Get that third one.
But you got to love them. Love them.
Well, Stuck, you got it. You got to remember, Rick, you make the comment, the level of hockey that we're at. And it was the same thing when we were playing. We had guys coming down from the American League, and we had guys ex-NHLers playing for us. And you could tell the difference between a guy that's played in the National Hockey League and guys that hadn't. And the difference was, doesn't matter what the score of the game was, whether it was the beginning of the game, the middle of the game, the end of the game, their game never changed. They were always on the defensive side of the puck. They're always in the right place. They're always in that passing lane. You're talking about passing lane, supporting the puck. They're always supporting the puck. Neutral zone. The thing that everybody forgets, this game's won and lost. Obviously, in your own end is number one. But in the neutral zone, this game's a neutral zone game. If you can dominate the neutral zone, both offensively and defensively, transition especially, well, the only way you can transition in the neutral zone, if you're supporting the puck. That means a guy in the middle is coming to the defenseman who's got the puck on the strong side. The strong side defenseman has a guy on the wall to give him the puck to. If there is swinging in the neutral zone, we're swinging in lanes. We're not swinging away from anybody. Okay, well, the best players that I played with as they were on their way down and whatnot, these guys were so good. They talked the whole entire time. The communication was unbelievable. You get the puck in the wall, a little chip to the middle, just nonstop communication. Right. I mean, but that's the way the game's played. Now being, you know, on the coaching side like I have for 14 years, you can't get these kids to communicate. I couldn't get these kids to communicate at the pro level. It's an impossible thing to do when you can sit there as a player like you did for so long. And you're trying to explain to guys, all you have to do is go down to the Joe, and well, you can't this year, but maybe next year. all you have to do is go down to the Joe, sit anywhere near the ice for practice. Go down there for practice. Listen to these guys talk in practice. They're not talking about where they're going afterwards. They're not talking about what they're going to do later. They're not talking about what their wives are doing, their girlfriends. They're actually communicating about the game of hockey in practice, yet alone if you're down there for a game. There's just nonstop communication. And as you trickle down, the NHL camps that I went to then got filtered down into where you and I ended up meeting, the communication gets less and less and less. And these kids don't understand how important it is for you to use your voice. And it's at all levels.
And it's the key word is communication. And day one, when I went down to Danville, took the team, that was the word I used. Communication is key. If you have a question, ask it. If I say something you don't understand, ask what I meant, because I could talk to 18 guys and 16 get it, but two don't. I have to say it a different way to those guys. And that's the job as a coach, yeah, is to understanding your personnel. But the other day, I mean, it happens more often during practice, you hear me yelling, talk, talk, right, talk, talk. I mean, you're doing flow drills, breakout, right, drills, forecheck drills. You have to, whatever you do in practice,
habit,
you will do in the game.
Habit.
It's sure. Repetition.
Yep.
And that could be the difference between playing FHL, East Coast, AHL.
Absolutely.
Is that communication and that thought process. Do you know how many times I say to a gentleman on the bench during practice, you have a window. The window's going to open for about a second and maybe, a half, maybe, and it's going to close. If you wait 2 seconds, you're done. You have to know what you're going to do before you get the puck.
Which
skate it, pass it, shoot it.
So he mentioned Mary Lemieux. Mary Lemieux had that window of a second and a half. He knew where the window was 5 seconds before it was going to happen. So puck goes back into his own zone. He takes a look over his shoulder. Another thing kids don't do, amateurs don't do, young professionals don't do. My very favorite thing to do as a player, and Paulie was great at it too, my very favorite thing to do as a player, every time the puck was going back in our zone, the very first thing I did was look over my shoulder, see what's going on behind me. Are they changing? Which defenseman? Is the defenseman pinching? Is he coming up on me? What's he going to do? How much time and space do I really have right now? Paulie was awesome at it. We'd be literally in transition. So we're going north, and north is always there in my mind. We're going north, a broken play at the blue line. It gets sent back to our D, who are now regrouping in the neutral zone. So now I've had to stop. By the way, stop. Not roller hockey turn. By the way, I had to stop and get back. And so now I'm stopping. I get back. I would literally hear Paul Pelillo as we're going back. Killer, stay on the wall, stay on the wall, stay on the wall. He'd be yelling at defenseman, quick up, quick up, quick up. Paulie'd be swinging to me as quick as can be. I'd stop on the wall. The puck would come to me. I'd give it to Paulie. He and I'd be going down on a semi-2-on-1. It happened that fast. Happened that fast. Okay, well, that's a big piece of the game. And this is all about this communication. The hardest thing I have with my hockey team right now is teaching them when the puck goes back in their own, when it's coming back south, whether it's dumped in, whether it's a broken play or whatever. Just look over your shoulder, see what's going on. You'll figure things out real quick. You know how easy it is to do that? You know how easy it is to do this? Oh, well, what? I don't have anybody on me. No, the defenseman, the goaltender doesn't talk to the defenseman coming back in the zone. Time. Quick,
wait a minute.
Quick.
Wait a minute.
No,
so I'm not supposed to just run back there, grab it, and as fast as I can, just whip it around the boards without looking?
Well, if the goalie's talking to you and he's telling you hard rim, then yes, you're rimming it. But if your partner's yelling for a reverse and he has a guy on his ass because he didn't look, and you reverse it to him, and the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net, we got a problem.
Right. That's not the communication we're talking about.
And you know they can communicate because some of them from the start of the game to the end don't stop chirping.
Right.
But, you know, when you talk about it, and I live by it and preach it, no big airplane turns, no heel turns. It stops, starts, transitions.
Good luck.
Head on a swivel.
Good luck.
Stick on the ice, in lanes, you know, keep your ass in between. The opponent. Keep your butt.
We got coach fired up now.
We got him going, boys.
Keep your butt in between the opponent and our net. And here's a classic, too. The kids nowadays, I played, you know, 4 or 5 sports. So I said the first week I got here, I said, we're going to go to the gym. And we couldn't get to the gym because it was booked, whatever. We're going to play basketball. And I'm going to show you how to play defense in our zone. You're playing basketball.
Love it.
You have the ball. I'm in between you and the net. That's how you play defense.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right along. Perfect. Love it. We do that all the time. Love that. Love that analogy. Guys don't understand. You got to keep your body between. It's called inside the puck. I call it inside the puck. Because you can be inside that guy, that puck's over here. Dude, just get yourself inside that puck. He's never going to get by you. That puck's never going to get by you. You're keeping yourself between him and the net. It's never going to happen. Whether you have the puck, whether you don't have the puck, just do that. And basketball is a great teaching tool for that. Unbelievable teaching tool.
By the way, we won by 5 last night. Got to take a break, guys, because we're way overdue. But stick around.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
By 5.
All right, welcome back. Solving the world's problems a segment at a time. The coaching clinic continued during the break.
Hey, you can't get 2 of us in here. Two of us in here, we're in trouble.
No. Well, it's tough enough to get 1 of you in here sometimes and handle you.
Well, put it this way. We're going to have the dry erase board up here shortly. We got to get the rink up here. We'll figure this out. We've already got it going. We'll figure it all out here shortly.
The good thing it did is it diverted Coach from trying to figure out that whole percentage thing that I was telling him.
Yeah, see, you and I talked about this the other day. Let's not even have this conversation. I don't even want to have that conversation. It's a ridiculous conversation.
I know.
But the percentage.
But it's reality.
The bottom line is, and you corrected me or said no in football or baseball, whatever. The bottom line is it's games played, wins, points. I mean, if you don't show up to play a game, you get 0 in the win column and you get 0 in the point column and you usually get a mark in that non-win column. I mean, I don't understand, you know, the bus broke down. Okay, well, you had 3 months to reschedule the game.
Yeah.
And I
think it's the road team's responsibility. It's your responsibility to get to that game. So unless the home team for some reason can't get its rink, the responsibility relies on the road team to get there and play a game.
You know the story. We've told you probably junior over a few years, whatever. In Danville, the bus, they get in the cars. They drove to Watertown. They played the game. That's our mentality. Oh. I'm talking about junior, senior. Was it a month ago? The bus guy, driver and the bus didn't show up. 7 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock in the morning, junior and I drove to the storage place where the bus is. And again, I don't like talking about, you know, whatever, but it's you do what you have to do. I made him climb a 20-foot barbed wire fence, holes in his hands, his arms, his legs, got over the fence. Thank God the bus starts without a key. Started the bus, got to the gate opened, drove to Port Huron, picked up the team, minus 2 key players, Atwall and Foose, who didn't have their phones for some reason and had left the apartments. And we drove to Danville and played the game.
Minor hockey. That's minor league hockey right there.
Yeah. Hey, you do. We're halfway between the real world and Thunder Bay. Bus breaks down. The equipment guy hitchhikes with a logger into Thunder Bay and comes back with 2 city buses.
True story.
One to put our gear on and the other to take the guys into town.
That's what you do. 3 years ago, we were going to Danbury and I don't want to talk about people, but if they're not here. And we said, don't turn this way. And the guy turned. And he stuck the bus under a bridge. And we had to get out of the bus. And we were already late for the game because the bus wouldn't go uphill, but maybe 20 miles an hour, no turbo. And we walked with our bags through not the greatest of areas of the city. 9:30 at night to get to Danbury, and sure enough, we did it. We got there. We got dressed, and no warm up. They just played the national anthem, dropped the puck, and let's go.
At least they got the anthem in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Had to get the anthem in.
They sold a lot of beer for 3 hours leading up to that.
Yeah, actually, the other team's owner is probably happy. He's like, "Could you guys do that next time too?" Yeah. Sold a lot of beer tonight. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of money.
Exactly. But that's like Coach was talking about, and myself. That's the will. That's the will. You have to have the will.
Kids do not have that will today. They just don't. It's not their upbringing. It's the same thing they're going through when they're going to school. There's no accountability. Parents are blaming the teachers. Parents are blaming everybody else but their little boy who spent the last 7 years of his life playing Call of Duty and any Xbox or PlayStation game he can. There's no, I literally remember, and this is now we're going back, I'm 47 years old, but I can literally remember, if the school called my house because I did whatever at school, there was no fear of that teacher calling my house. He knew that Mr. McKillop was not going to be happy and Bobby Jr. was going to be in trouble. It had nothing to do with, well, explain to me how this happened or how this, or there's an entitlement that goes on. I see it at every level. It's happening at the pro level. You're watching with NHL hockey players now. That accountability, which is the biggest word as a coach, and it was a big word as a player too, but that accountability thing is going by the wayside. These guys love to look around and blame everybody else but themselves. This is an opportunity for, what, we're not going to play the game? Huh? We're not gonna, we don't have to go? Oh, I ain't going. Well, we got no bus. No, it's not. We have to. You do whatever you have to do. You exhaust every single resource that you have before you finally go, hey, can't do it. Can't do it. That that mentality has gone. I'm sure players were looking at him going, what are we doing? What? We're doing what? You want me to do what? Right now? It's 10 o'clock. We're going to play a game at 10 o'clock. What do you mean we're going to play a game at 10 o'clock? You'd be playing Call of Duty till 4 a.m. How about you put your gear on and we go play this game? We're here already. I don't want to hear the excuses. We can't win because it's 10. I'm losing my beauty sleep. Whatever.
You should have saw the expression on the boys' faces when Junior and I showed up back in Port Huron with the bus.
Oh. They're like, kidding me?
The game's at 5. I said, I got the game switched. We're playing at 7.
Oh, but it's
deep. Well, we won't make it there in time to warm up. I said, yeah, I'm driving.
But Coach, I just called my girlfriend and told her we weren't playing. It's date night tonight.
You're hitting that soft spot because two of those guys didn't show up, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that the phone was dead.
But it's date night, Coach. I mean, I just got a day off. I mean, it was an unscheduled day off, but it's date night.
We need a rain out.
Well, we'll get one.
You're either in or you're in the way. I'm in 150%. If you're not in, you got to go.
I've seen it both ways. Mike Emmerich tells me the story, too. They're in Kalamazoo one night, and the Zamboni comes out, and it mysteriously breaks down at the blue line on the first turn.
Well, they needed a rest.
No, they were waiting for a guy. A goalie had gotten sent down. And the flight hadn't landed yet, and they hadn't got him from the airport to the rink.
Yeah.
As soon as the guy walked through the door, they mysteriously found the missing part for the Zamboni, and it fired right back up, finished its turns, and the guy came starting goalie.
Does that surprise me?
Now, I didn't do this, but there was a state championship game probably, let's see, he's 32 now, so he's probably 12, so what is this, 20 years ago, and the alarm in the building went off, and they all blamed it on me, but I don't think it was me. We won the game, too. You know, the ice was getting tilted. We needed to tilt it back the other way.
Well, the story's Stucky we could tell.
It's fun.
The stories we could tell.
I forgot about that one.
Because you're just blotting out the bad memory. Those poor kids.
The will to win. There's no other thing.
Unfortunately.
How about this? Come on. Okay. This is pro. And you've played, you've coached.
Yep.
I go like this to the goalie from the bench.
Oh, yeah.
We just ice the puck. The guys are exhausted. Undo the straps. Get a timeout. Let the guys breathe. Yeah. Take the mask
fix the
off.
Fix the mask.
Come to the bench. Change. Last weekend, I told the guy to come to the bench. He goes, for what? We iced it. I said, come to the bench. You need a new stick, right? He goes, no, my stick's fine. Listen, I took the stick and threw it over the boards at him.
Listen, it's funny.
Need an edge.
It's funny.
Get the edger.
It's funny. It's funny he's talking about this, okay? But, and again, I know we got to go to break, so I'll make this as quick as I can.
Go ahead.
So I have open communication with my goaltenders. Anytime that I whistle and make a point across the ice to any forward on the ice, and I'll whistle really loud to wherever the faceoff is, if I'm going like this, that means the next time you get a chance to come to the bench because you need a stone, to come to the bench because you need a stick, to undo a strap, and it's just, and I tell them, you know, before the season starts, anytime you see this, real loud, hey, very next stoppage of play, everybody on the ice will look at me like this, got it, they'll think it's a face-off play, I need a breather. Whether we're shorthanded, whether we're on the power play, whether we're just got on a 5-on-3, whatever, just give me 30 seconds.
That's it.
So we're in the playoffs. Number one goalie. Hey. Guys look over. Hey. Give them the tap on the arm. Kids look over. Yep. We got a minute and 40 left on our 5-on-3. It's now minute and 18. Whistle. And I'm looking at the goalie, and he's skating back and forth in his crease. And I'm like, oh, my God. No, this can't be happening. This is as simple as that. And so then in between periods, it was in the second period, I look at the goalie and go, hey. He goes, I totally forgot. I didn't realize it. I didn't
25
realize
seconds
it.
Came
I
off the clock.
I didn't realize
it
until Pitsy came back and said, what are you doing? That was 8 minutes later. But anyway, I mean, that's part of the game.
I was thinking about the last one I let in.
Right. But again, I mean, people don't realize that's part of the game. That's a big part of the game.
And here's another analogy example. Both guys made it to the NHL. I'll use one name. Goaltender, El Montoya, the smartest, best athlete on the team. He was doing the strap at 12 before I could even signal. That's how smart he was,
right.
And that's why he's playing still in the NHL. The other guy, I dropped the play, and I said, okay, we're going to go down, transition backwards up here, grab a pass, go down, shoot this way. And he'd go down, and he'd not transition, and he'd go left instead of right, and then he'd skate forward instead of backwards, then backward. And he made it, but probably shouldn't have, but he was big, he's strong, right. And he dropped the gloves. But he's not playing anymore, so the difference is you have to have those three key ingredients, and the brain really helps the coaches out when they're thinking with you.
Oh, my boy.
Not fighting with you.
Oh, of course, that's a lot of information you just gave me there. You really expect him to retain all that?
Yeah, right.
All right. Prowlers are in Danbury on Saturday. Have a safe trip. Get three more points. All you can do is win your games, and you've won five straight playing good hockey. And we'll just hope that it all works out for the best for us.
It's shift by shift, period by period, game by game. There's a lot of empty nets that we missed that we could be looking down instead of up in the standings, but it's been a great ending of a maybe bad year, and to look forward to next year, with all the sponsors, the season ticket holders, the community, the fans, we have to stick together and, keep it going for years to come.
Absolutely. All right, take a break, and we'll be back with hour number two in just a bit here. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on WPHM. We're here until 5 today.